Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. There's quite a few instances of people who have mocked God and seen instant judgment for it. A sowing and reaping, a clear demonstration of it, with a church that burned down, with CNN, some modern examples, as well as biblical examples as well. We'll look at an overview of all of that and what the Bible has to say about it in this video. We know in the last days, mocking and scoffing of God and his ways will increase. 2 Peter 3:3 tells us that. And as we're seeing that increase, we're seeing some demonstrations of people reaping what they sowed. In the month of June 2023, a rainbow-friendly church was struck by lightning and burned down. As many people are aware, certain denominations are now promoting things that the Bible says is not a way to live your life. This, in fact, was one of those churches, the First Congregation Church of Spencer in Massachusetts, known for being a church promoting these type of ideologies. And here's some picture evidence that the church was actually struck by lightning and burned down. Interestingly enough, in 1743, part of the church burned as well. And then in 1772, another church was constructed there, and that one burnt down in 1862. It seems like there might be a spiritual territorial attack or a stronghold on this property, and it just continually gets burned down through time as they continually go on. I really wonder what their old type of ideologies they were teaching were, if there's a history of that as well. CNN is an example of an organization that continually mocks Christianity and the God of the Bible, and we'll see what the fruit of that has led to, but first some attacks that they've done. In 2019, a CNN host mocked the idea that God directed who becomes president of the United States. Take a listen to this commercial that CNN played during one of their Democratic debates, one of the times when they get the most traffic to their site.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
And the mocking truly continues from here, but God does, in this case, demonstrate a judgment and a correction on the part of CNN and some of their hosts. CNN host Chris Cuomo mocks God, prayer, and compassion.
First, I would like to offer my thoughts and prayers, because that's what you do when you offer thoughts and prayers. You mock those who lost loved ones, because if you gave it any thought at all, you would never walk away from any of these without figuring out a better way to deal with them. And prayer? You think leaving it to God is the answer? We pray for strength, we pray for wisdom, for resolve, but we clearly don't want to act on any of those here. So what are you praying for? CNN Tonight with D. Lemon starts right now.
Where do these people, I mean, come on, really?
Thank God he's Irish.
Like, they should open, like, start a pretzel business.
Because they got it twisted.
They got it twisted, and, well, it's religion. It's, you know, you can't.
Can't wear a mask. You don't see one on Jesus.
CNN article, December 4th, 2021. CNN fires Chris Cuomo. What other fruit has CNN reaped from their sowing of lies and the mocking of the one true Most High God? March 14th, 2023, CNN's ratings woes continue as network has its lowest rated week in more than 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar is an interesting case in the Bible of an evil king, truly, but a king who mocked God and attacked God and his people, but God continually corrected to try to get Nebuchadnezzar on the right path. In one instance, he offered Daniel all the food and fruit and anything in his kingdom, truly, that he really wanted. Daniel chose to not eat any of the king's luxurious foods and decided to eat only vegetables for 10 days. After the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends who did this looked healthier than the other men who ate the king's food. Of course, we all know the story of the lion's den, Daniel being thrown in there by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came running the next morning to see if Daniel was still alive, and of course, God kept him alive. This was because Daniel decided to pray to God and to praise the Lord in spite of the new law that was set for people to only worship and pray to Nebuchadnezzar. And lastly, in the book of Daniel, we're told of Nebuchadnezzar's final judgment and correction of God leading him down a very hard path. After being mocked by Nebuchadnezzar constantly and not learning his lesson, and it actually led Nebuchadnezzar to repentance. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his high kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whom he chooses. Nebuchadnezzar finally comes to this reality and repents and starts to believe and follow the truth of God. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Oftentimes, that's what judgment and correction from God really is. It's a chastising to lead us and point us to God, to realize that he is the one true God, and to lead us to repentance and following his ways. Now, there are some cases in the Bible where instant judgment doesn't come. Sometimes in an entire lifetime, we won't see what would expect to be a reaping and a sowing of somebody who does evil. But the Bible gives us a clear understanding of this as well. One case of that is Lazarus and the rich ruler. In Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, we're told of the rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And outside of his gate, there was a beggar named Lazarus who never received any help from the rich man. We're told then how the rich man was carried away to hell and how Lazarus was brought up to be in Abraham's side. There's a conversation that takes place between Lazarus and the rich man begging for Lazarus to just dip his finger in water and touch it to his tongue, also begging Lazarus that him or Abraham could go to his family, to his brothers, and tell them of this place of torment. And Abraham's response, of course, is that they can give the rich man no help in hell and that they can't go back to tell his family. They have Moses and the prophets, they need to listen to them. He says also, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead, which is very true because that's exactly what Jesus did, and many of these people still deny Jesus after that incredible truth. Psalm 37 is another great chapter if you're ever wondering and conflicted about seeing the wicked prosper and struggling while you try to do what's right and still struggling in this life. I'll paraphrase throughout this chapter and give an overview of it, saying, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. How there was no pains in their death, they had no plagues. None of the severe things that righteous people were dealing with seemed like any of them dealt with. They spoke boastfully with no offense, reaping nothing bad in return. Pride is their necklace and violence covers them, and yet they continue to prosper in their ways. Behold," it says, "these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in their riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." It's important to realize, I think, that sometimes we see the mocking, the scoffing, and the reaping and the sowing, but this is a great overview that we sometimes see wickedness prosper in the world, and that is just a attribute of our fallen world, but truly their destination is judgment and utter destruction, sadly, unless they turn their life to Jesus Christ. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich, for the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Worth mentioning here is that being rich in general isn't an evil in itself. What God truly cares about is your heart posture. God wants your heart towards him, towards those in need. He wants us to be rich in good works. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil, because people who love it will sometimes, and oftentimes actually, do a lot of evil things to get more of it. So what God truly cares about is your heart being absolutely sold out for him, not money and not material things. A little bit in line with this that I wanted to mention is, of course, we know the Bible verse, Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, something we've seen come more and more in the times we live in. Similarly, falls in line with 2 Timothy 3 of evil in the last days and these different things increasing. In July 12, 2023, this article came out that there was a portion of the FBI that was viewing traditional Catholics as domestic extremism. While I definitely have my disagreements with Catholicism, claiming that they're domestic extremists is absolutely insane and is definitely leading down the road of calling good evil and evil good, and will actually absolutely continue down the line of Christian denominations if that narrative continues to spread. The most important and the scariest aspect truly about this mocking of God aspect is that those who do it are denying God and denying Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 10:33, Jesus says, whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. There will come a day when we are not on this earth anymore and you have zero control over your destination. There will be a judgment on your life. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ and if you have denied him and mocked him, you are cast where the rich man went who showed no compassion to Lazarus, to hell. You're going to hell. And that is just the way it is. Jesus is the only way out of it. That's why it's just the most amazing thing ever. Jesus took the penalty of all of our wrongdoings. Living and accepting him is the way into heaven. It's easy. You don't have to work your way there like in Buddhism or in Islam. It's an amazing story. It's true and it's real. So giving your life to Jesus Christ and being in right standing with him and acknowledging him before man and just living for him, that is the call of our life. And I pray you all are doing it. Thanks for watching and God bless.